from DynastyLeagueFootball.com and the DLF family of podcasts, this is a Super Flex Super Show. Your main source for strategy, speculation, player values, and all things Super Flex. With innovative strategies like QBX and the Super Flex Flywheel, exercises like Tinderflex, Super Six, You're Nuts, and Next Week This Week, the Super Show's Super Friends never lack the content you need to help you draft and manage your roster in the fastest-growing fantasy football format, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show. Enjoy your DLF podcast and stay sexy and super flexy.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel pain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. I'ma win, it's a turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Casey Kasem, and I have a trading problem.
Hi, I'm Tom Everett Scott, and these guys have just given me a little taste for free, so we'll see how it goes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 219 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and as always, we do. And I think Tom just showed you a little bit of how we do. You come on, we give you a little bit of that fun trade talk and just, you know, bait you a little bit, just trying to get you back for more, trying to get you back for more. And apparently it works because this is the second time this guy decided to actually talk with us. And to come back for a second is just,
it's working. I can quit anytime. I can quit anytime I want.
I cannot. So no. Good for you. You are still at that level of denial, which... You're almost there. You're working your way toward the end.
I got soon.
It sounds like guys in my head.
Oh, it's good to be back. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Rocky, you look different.
Yeah, you know, things happen over the summer.
He really found himself on that walkabout.
Those wolves really taught me.
Yes.
Yeah. What's up?
So Rocky cannot be here, which is why Casey is here, and then Casey is why Tom is here, because I don't do things on my own show anymore, and it's wonderful. Even my guest co-host books the guest. This is great. I have reached a level of complete laziness, and this has been my goal in life.
Because it just worked out for you. Yeah.
You know, I felt bad afterwards when I told you, I was like, hey, Tom Everett Scott's coming on, okay? And then the next day I was like, oh, I didn't really ask him if it was okay if I like, not that he would say no, but I just didn't want to be like, hey, I'm taking over your show.
Please. I mean, that's what I do. Like, it is always a risk to have me on as a guest on a show because I will just keep showing up. And then I talk too much on my own. So I just end up hosting shows. So please, I deserve it for it to happen to me at this point. And there is a very short list of people I would actually be okay with stealing this show. And honestly, either of you two, if you feel like it.
Yeah, we could squat.
I think we could. I'm not 100% sure people are going to like want to listen to my advice, but you know.
Oh, I never thought anyone ever wanted to listen to anything I had to say, but people for some reason keep coming back. So...
the first thing we're gonna work on is that self-confidence, Casey. We're gonna build that.
Well, there's a reason I don't have a fantasy football podcast, so you know.
So there you go. Half fantasy football, half self-help. Like, look, we're building. You guys are building the show while I'm still here.
Which it's going to be great. It's going to be great. We're going to be our own, like,
every show. Super great.
Please do. Okay. I will make sure that I'll put it in my calendar, and I'm sure my wife will be totally fine with me, you know, taking over.
Look,
this big
you
bad
get the
boy.
Big bucks rolling in on the Trade Addict podcast. So, I mean.
Okay, if that was the case, yeah, be like, I podcast mean, every night. I don't care. Right? Do what you got to do.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Trade Addicts.
That first Bala. Job that I book straight from a fantasy football relationship, I'm going to be like, honey.
Yep. This is it.
It's it.
Right?
You gave me crap all those years, but this, it paid off.
It paid off. Finally.
Right.
Worth the wait.
Now okay. So I know you were on the 200th episode, which is a complete and utter blur in my brain because it's always awesome talking to Scott and Ryan in the first place. And then you show up, and then there's a freaking montage of people saying nice things about me, which I can't handle. So a lot, there's like a big mental block on that. So I have no idea if we actually did our little interviewee thing with you. But we're going to do it again anyway. Okay. So first, let's start off with a question that is asked usually for a very different reason. But why don't you tell everyone listening who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Let's see. I am Tom Everett Scott. I am an actor. I do movies and TV. Sometimes I do stage. It's been a while. Yeah. And what's the third thing I have to answer? I forgot.
Where they can find what you do.
Where you can find what I do? Oh.
Wait, hold on, hold on. Where they could find that thing you do.
Yes.
And I retire.
I think it's available where you can find such things, movies. I'm on IMDb. TomEverettScott.com. There is no TomEverettScott.com. I wish. IMDb.com. Tom Everett Scott. You can look my shit up. And then also, currently, you can see me in the Amazon series "The Summer I Turned Pretty." It is not about my character. It is about young
Rocky. It's about Rocky.
It is. but that's a good one. That's based on a young adult novel series by Jenny Han, and it's doing very well. It's Amazon's number one series right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Take that. Take that, The Boys, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, I love The Boys. Oh.
Show's so horrifyingly amazing.
So good, right?
So good.
Not Casey, a show no? No, Casey?
Need so to I have it? Amazon Prime. I don't ever watch anything on there.
There's some good stuff there.
Fleabag. Sometimes I watch movies on there, but I will.
Get yourself in the mood to watch something insanely dark, raunchy, hilarious, and terrifying, and then go watch The Boys.
Yeah.
And gory. Very, very, very gory.
Oh, my goodness. They don't disappoint.
No, ever. Very,
this
very.
New season's been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not on The Boys. I highly recommend watching it anyway.
Well, you know, I watch yours and then I'll watch that. How about that? List on Amazon, you know, start with the best and we'll just work our way down.
Exactly. And what else? Like the pandemic started and the show that I was currently on at the time, I'm Sorry, which you can also still watch. It's on HBO Max now. That got canceled in the middle of COVID. That sucked. But then last year I worked a bunch and I did your show while I was stationed up in Winnipeg. And then,
hey, up in Winnipeg. How exciting.
I love Winnipeg. Fun town. It wasn't that great during COVID, I have to say. I've worked there a few other times and it was a lot more fun, but that's COVID for you. And then did a movie last year with Simu Liu, who played Shang-Chi, and that'll be coming out soon.
Oh, well, speaking of another fantastic movie and seemingly fantastic guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I love when people are like 20 years ago, hey, Marvel, you should make an Asian, you know, superhero. And then he becomes that guy. It's just
Kim's Convenience.
Mm-hmm. Really funny.
Dope.
Dream that.
And that one got canceled for whatever. I always get angry when the show's like, I'm sorry, it was great. But, you know, it's like.
True.
Don't cancel my shoes.
Ah, man.
What am I going to do now?
So silly. So silly. It always happens.
What are we going to do?
All right. We're going to move away from sad talk and go and ask, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
So I started playing fantasy football in college circa 1988 with a bunch of guys that I'm still in a league with. And then dropped out, I would say, like around mid-90s when my acting career started taking off. And I really felt like, oh, I need to focus on acting. And that worked out. But then when the internet became more of a thing and it was easier to do fantasy football, you didn't have to look in the newspaper every Monday for the box scores. Then I got back into it. And I would say 2010, I got in a league with my poker buddies. And then just kind of like each year I added a league since.
How long have you been playing Dynasty for? Okay, you said you're in one Dynasty league, right?
I'm in one Dynasty league. So when I started getting back into fantasy, I started really like getting into it. I really wanted to crush my competition. So I started turning to the experts and found this hilarious little podcast called Living the Stream and became friends with those guys. And so then JJ, after a few years of knowing him, he said, I want to do this Dynasty league. So let's do it. And that's the one I'm in. It's been really fun. There's a couple Hollywood types in it, and there's a couple FF analyst types in it.
Fancy. That's all I can say.
Which means that I'm outclassed, that I'm such a newbie, and they're all going to just destroy me. But I did come in second the first year, which I have to say, I think if you do well the first year, and I think you guys know the answer to this, it means that your team's not going to be that good eventually, unless you make some trades.
But you get to say, from now until the end of time, you came in second in a league with all of those people in it.
That's true.
All that matters.
That's true.
It's all that matters, really. I mean, nobody's going to remember at the end of the day, like, what your team looked like or anything like that, or the losses. You just got to look at how awesome your team is.
I'm going to get that trophy this year. That's what's going to happen.
Get that trophy. There you go. See, the confidence thing. That's what I like to hear.
What are, do you remember some of the best or worst trades you've made while in that Dynasty League?
So I just traded a second rounder next year for Marcus Mariota. It's a super flex league. I don't have strong quarterbacks. I'm kind of just trying to, like, I don't know, trying to be sneaky and not give up too much to get some solid guys. I have Kirk Cousins and Tua.
Oh, those are my boys. Yes.
And then I have, they're great. They're arrow pointing up on both those guys. Mm-hmm. And then I have Trubisky. And I drafted Ritter in the rookie draft, and then I was like, oh, I should get Mariota. Just kind of like,
oh, okay.
Oh, that makes it even, yeah.
Oh, so you spent a second to make sure you have Atlanta starting quarterback. I like that even better, because before you left off that very important piece of information.
Oh, like when I was trying to get a Denver quarterback from you, and you wouldn't give it to me, Russ.
Yeah, that does not sound like anything I would ever do.
Well, you had Carson Wentz. And I was going to give you, never mind.
Their third string quarterback, according
so
to
what?
To recent news.
And I know Russ. Tom's here, but I just had a little bone to pick on that. But we're done. Denver. Who wants a Denver quarterback anyway? Keep going.
I'm pretty sure that you helped me with maybe one of the best trades I did make, which was with the Podfather. You helped me get Kirk Cousins. I believe
I did.
Yeah. Dope. I love Kirk Cousins. So good job, buddy.
He will be. Until the day he retires, that guy who is going to score you low-end QB1 production at mid-QB2 prices. And he is like literally the go-to for every pod you will listen to be like, nah, just go get Kirk Cousins. You don't need a great quarterback. Like, Kirk Cousins having to hear him, like, right. You know, I know he listens to every single fantasy football podcast, so I know his feelings are probably pretty hurt right now. But everybody loves you, Kirk. Just, we don't want to pay a lot for you. Sorry, man. Like,
Do you guys target him in Scott Fishbowl because he's perfect for that scoring system?
I will never pretend to know what I'm doing when it comes to Scott
Fishbowl. I have no idea when it comes, like, but I mean, if he is there and, like, he's, in my opinion, like, I want somebody like him at least, if you know, so, like, I would say I have a lot of Kirk Cousins in my heart, and Scott Fishbowl. Sure, we'll see. Yes. Maybe I'll just draft him this year and say, this is in honor of Tom Everett Scott.
You should.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
If we could only rename our teams, they would all be named in honor of Tom Everett Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
See, like, I go after guys that don't throw a lot of incompletions and interceptions. Like, give me Brady, give me Rodgers. I mean, Tannehill seemed that way before this past season, but that efficiency sort of went out the window. So,
yeah. Like,
when it comes to something, especially like it's a charity league and all of that stuff. Yeah. So I'm not going to pretend to ever. So it's really like one of those, you know, cover your eyes and click the button and whoever you draft as long as you don't scroll too far down and, you know, waste it a little bit. It is absolutely the wrong way to do it in drafting for safety in Scott Fishbowl, because you need to do something silly and it worked out.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. It's such a big field.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. My goal in Scott Fishbowl is always not to be in the bottom half. Because I feel like if I could say I'm in like the 49th percentile, I am better than half of the people. And that is good enough for me.
It's pretty good. That would be pretty good.
Do you ever mock draft for Scott Fishbowl? Because no. I don't see, in my opinion. Okay. I mean, it's fun, but I'm not really sure that it has helped me at all.
That's what's good about the group chats. Like, we have I think we named it the Dirty Dozen at this point because we're drafting from the 12 spot.
Right.
There's so many people that love doing those mocks, that love doing the research. Yeah. And I literally typed in there, you guys better figure this out and let me know what to do because I have no idea what's going on. And exactly. A bunch of them said, we got you. Don't worry about it. So I'm like.
That's one of my favorite things because the community is so great. Last year, the people picking from the five spot, the 105ers or whatever we called ourselves, I'm still in that group. Like, we still just shoot around ideas about fantasy in general. But it was awesome last year. You know, the people I got to meet through that, but also just the strategy everybody was building. It didn't help me. I didn't do well.
Where are you drafting from this year?
I don't know what my position is because I'm doing a live draft.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. They're going to meet up.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to, like, pick it on the day.
I think a couple of them are doing some sort of fun thing while you're there to pick draft order.
That would be cool. I'm looking forward to that because I think that'll be a separate, interesting, exciting experience. But it is going to, therefore, I won't be in one of these, like, groups that we're talking about on Twitter.
You could just jump in after the fact, right? I mean, it won't help you with strategy, it makes you feel like part of a group. And yeah, I'm all for it.
Well, actually, when does it start drafting online?
Monday,
right?
So my live draft isn't until the 16th. So there will be quite a bit of data.
Oh, you will have
You're going to get a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah. You will have straight up data to deal with. This isn't like hypothetical data. You will see real drafts.
I'll be seeing where a lot of people are picking. Crazy.
I love it.
Yeah. See, like, if it was me, I'm like, oh man, I have all this data, and then just not do anything with it and still just make it up as I go along. And then if I win, I would actually say, thank you, everybody, for all of this stuff. And when I lose, you guys, I did exactly what you did. You know,
love blaming other people.
Even if I win, I will give everyone else the credit. But if I lose, it is absolutely not my fault.
No. Why would you tell me to do that?
Yeah. No, never. Okay, the last question in our little interviewee thing. What is a guiding principle you take with you, whether offering or evaluating a trade? Is there something that you just like keep in the back of your head while you're staring at that screen?
Well, because of the league I'm in and that it's chock full of these pros, I just don't want to be laughed at. That's what I'm worried about. All right, that aside, I think it's just fun. I think it's fun to get in there and do it. I definitely am trying to, I don't just try to make my team better. I try to do a trade that makes sense with another team that also has a hole to fill, so to speak.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's in one of the Trade Addicts leagues today, I sent a trade and in the group chat, he told me it was rejected. Like, I got the rejection email and I put in there and I'm like, well, was that actually close? And then a couple of people there started laughing like, this is your Trade Addicts, you, and you're asking if it was a good offer. And I'm like, I don't know sometimes, man. Like, it seemed like a good idea. It's like, and yeah, I want to know if it was good. And so like, call them pros, call them whatever. I've done this weird show for 200 something episodes. I have no idea what I'm talking about. It's, you know.
Yeah. So, and yeah, the random nature of football in general leaves us all kind of still wondering whether we're doing anything right.
Yeah, ever. As long as you have fun, that's the most important part.
For sure.
That's what my dad told me after I lost all of my Little League games.
Aww.
Thanks, Dan.
And then he bought you a milkshake and it was all okay.
Yeah.
After the many hours of the demeaning once we got away from the public. Yeah. Take this milkshake. Milkshakes are for losers. Oh, Dad. Aww. No. Aww. None of that actually happened. It's sad.
Oh, I was picturing Little Outhouse being told he wasn't good enough.
Just a milkshake dumped on his head.
Little Outhouse with a milkshake.
Milkshakes are for winners. My dad wouldn't be cool enough to pull off the coffees for closers line, so yeah.
Aww.
Okay, since absolutely nothing of interest happened in the NFL in the past week because it's July and absolutely nothing interesting happens, we are going to move on. So I like to give our guests the option. Would you rather do Trade Addicts trades or listener questions first?
Let's do the questions.
Cool. Scroll down. First question. I have been given the go-ahead to stop using the underscores in his name because his name is at OMG, it's J Brew, and that name is awesome. Except there's underscores after every word, and that just takes away from the awesomeness. Okay. But he actually put in the tweet, you don't have to worry about the underscores. So, okay. At OMG, it's JBrew. What non-rookie with an ADP outside the top 10-ish rounds has the ability to raise their dynasty value the highest in the next year? For the third year in a row, I will say Paris Campbell and die on that hill.
Hmm.
Paris Campbell's running with the ones, everybody. This is the year. It's going to happen.
I mean, you know, they get Matt Ryan there and they got Pittman as their one, as their alpha, right?
And then they drafted Alec Pierce, who is right. A good deep guy. And then what else are you going to do when you have to throw the ball less than 3 yards past the line of scrimmage? That's where Aaron Campbell lives.
Yeah, buddy. I love it.
Yeah. What's his comp? Like,
I mean, he fits in with, like, I mean, Curtis Samuel, like, he fits in with those gadgety Ohio State players. I mean, they all sort of end up comping themselves to themselves. Mm-hmm. And in the right situation with the right players and with the right coaching staff, it usually works out. And when Paris Campbell has been healthy, which unfortunately has been very limited in his time in the NFL, he's been seeing around 8 to 10 targets a game and doing a decent amount with them. So I don't think it has anything to do with the team around him and him succeeding. It just has to do with him staying on the field.
For sure.
Yeah. And I will – Zach Reed is in Maine. I am in New Jersey. We will just start running towards each other, meet halfway. I have to figure out where that half point is and just start dancing. It will magically start raining so we can start dancing.
I love it. I love Paris.
Yeah, that was so. – I just, sorry, the visual got in my head of me and Zach dancing in the rain. Yeah. All right, so
maybe you could get little berets and baguettes and make it a real Parisian French thing to celebrate Paris.
It's on brand, man.
This is great.
So I pulled up DLF ADP for June.
Okay.
And I'm scrolling to around the 120 mark, trying to think of who I think will vault forward, and I am going to steal an answer, even though I've been saying it for a little bit also, but I just happened to listen to the Late Round podcast today, and JJ Zacharyson did say that Cole Kmet does have some positive touchdown regression coming his way, because with Allen Robinson there, Cole Kmet still had 93 targets last season.
Okay.
Velus Jones ain't no Allen Robinson, even though last year Allen Robinson was not Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. So I am all for Cole Kmet breaking that 100 targets and then actually doing something with them. He has an ADP of 126, tight end 13. And I think it's very easy. He can be, and every week I feel safe putting him in my lineup. And while maybe saying he's a top 10 tight end means absolutely nothing because most tight ends are kind of trash.
Mm-hmm.
I feel better not having to make a decision every week. I like having a guy, like, especially at those onesie positions, you know, in a one QB, I will pay up for a QB. I feel good starting every week. In a tight end, where you only have to start one, which you should only ever have to start one. If you want to flex one, more power to you. Two tight ends, they're not it.
Right.
They're not it. I feel better having a guy I can plug and just leave. Except for
Yeah. So wait, so does that mean that you tend to go for the top tier tight ends, or you're not going to roll the dice on somebody like a Cole Kmet as your starting tight end?
The way I build my teams, where if I'm competing already, I'll hopefully have that Kelce, Waller, Kittle. Chances are, if I'm competing, I couldn't afford to get Pitts, you know?
Yeah.
But on teams that are middling, on teams where I don't have one, I will, at the beginning of a season, stack a bunch of the lower end guys. Like, give me some Goddard, Kmet, Gesicki, like Schultz, all of those guys that fit into what I said before, will most likely be in that tight end 6 or 7 to like 15, which in the long run doesn't help, but you hope they play consistently enough that I can then package them with something to go get Travis Kelce.
Or stream them, or, you know.
Yes, that is, again, the aforementioned living the stream, that they have gotten me through many of fantasy football seasons where I had no idea what I was doing because I did not have that plug and play guy.
Yeah, right. I got a bunch. Like, all my rosters, I have, like, a bunch of, like, bottom-churning, you know, tight ends, and I'm just trying to plug in whenever I can based on who they're playing or if somebody gets hurt or what. But
see, that's why I love playing in low-dollar leagues, which all of mine are, because I get to make decisions based on how much anxiety I'm going to have on game. Like, am I going to be nervous that I'm picking the wrong guy on Sunday morning? No? Cool. I'm happy. That's what matters. Winning is cool and all, but I'm not going to, you know, crawl into a ball and cry because I have to make a decision, which I hate doing.
Right. That is your motivation. No shower cries.
Decisions in life. Which, again, like we were talking before we started recording, which is why I married who I did, because she feels absolutely okay just telling me what to do all the time. And I am cool with that.
My tight ends in the one dynasty league I'm in, and let's just call it the Hollywood Randos, because that's what it's called. Hockenson, and then my backup is Schultz. It is Schultz.
Beautiful.
I like both. Probably stream those.
I wish his quarterback was better.
Hockenson has the ability to be that guy. Like, for the past 2 years, I've been waiting for him to go cement himself in that top six of those guys, but he hasn't done it, and it makes me sad, and now I'm losing confidence, but I want it to happen. Scrolling through the list otherwise, I mean, it's see, I keep finding tight ends because they're it's so easy to break into.
That's the zone.
Yeah, that is exactly like that's where they're Ertz, a couple of Scott Fishbowl mocks I did, I've been taking.
He could finish top five in scoring this year. He could.
Easily. And because once he moved to Arizona, he kind of was a top five tight end.
Yeah.
It's just he didn't do much in the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. And I know Trey McBride is there, but rookie tight ends don't usually do anything. So when
Hopkins
is
out.
Awesome.
Hopkins is out for the first six games.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No Christian Kirk. Who are they going to throw to?
Boom.
Hollywood.
I think we. Gotta throw a couple of guys, so you know.
Now everyone I'm seeing is like very injury related, like Jalen Tolbert really pushed himself up with Michael Gallup still being hurt. Russell Gage can do pretty well if he puts himself as that wide receiver too, with Godwin most likely not coming in for the first couple of weeks. Melvin Gordon, when he takes more away from Javonte Williams than anyone wants to admit will actually happen.
Boo.
It's going to happen. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're finding league winners in heavy sarcastic quotes down here, at least at the beginning of the season. Like, as the season goes on, like, hey, man, maybe we take Hassan Haskins because maybe Derrick Henry gets hurt and they just don't know what to do without that running backs. And Hassan Haskins is a very large man, even though he is not no one. No human being is Derrick Henry, because Derrick Henry most likely is not a human being. So he won't do Derrick Henry things, but he's still, again, a very large man that will be able to use a good running.
Is he a god?
Maybe.
He could be.
Demi, ooh, at least.
Right.
I've heard he was a king. Oh, but that's king. A person. So, you know.
Could be a god king.
God king. God king.
I keep scrolling. Like, there's Robert Tonyan. He's probably going to catch a bunch of
Robert Tonyan. That's yeah, tight ends. But that's the thing. Like Tom said, that's the area for all those tight ends.
Haskins, is that who you were talking about on the Titans?
Yeah.
What year is he? What
rookie?
Okay, but wasn't the question about non rookies?
Oh, I zoned out about that question.
Oh, okay. Look at this. Well, then I will.
Well,
too. All right.
This is why he's going to be the next host, because
I thought we were talking about non rookies in the 100.
Yeah, but then I was scrolling around and I couldn't find anybody good, so I saw that name. I'm like, okay,
make your own rules.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Poor Jay Brew.
No, Jay Brew is honored just to be mentioned, just to have the beautiful minds of the three of us talking about his question.
True.
I love how I'm talking for him right now. Fine. By the way,
he'd say,
"Who else true. Will?"
Right.
Okay. Next question at Matt B from CA. That is a lot of. Matt B is from California, apparently. Right. LaVisca, in or out? Are we hoping for a trade somewhere else, or maybe he just gets released? Thoughts on LaVisca Chenault?
Ah, man.
I don't have any thoughts on LaVisca Chenault.
Like the picks I burned on that guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem, right? When you get burned, you're like, I don't know. Trust issues, man.
All I can think is, that team can't get worse.
You say that. I can't wait to see them get worse.
Wow, I almost said Oscar Meyer. Urban Meyer was just
Oscar
like...
Yeah.
Oscar Meyer would have done a better job coaching that team.
True. A piece of bologna would have done better.
I Peterson is good. And that is a very large step forward from where they were. So, you know, we were happy that Jalen Reagor got drafted to the Eagles because we thought Peterson would be clever enough to use him.
Right.
Reagor did not really work out, seemingly for Reagor reasons. VSCA hopefully can be that guy. The thing I'm sticking with is they didn't bring in someone else that is like VSCA. He is still that guy. You throw it to him in open space and he just barrels over people and spins around the rest of them. Like,
he's Percy Harvin, isn't he?
But like bigger. Yeah. Like, exactly. So assuming they care enough to use him the way they need to, which at this point it's an entire new staff, so maybe they just don't care. But if at this point, what, you're spending a third to go get VSCA? I mean, it's worth the risk at this point.
Whoa.
Hey man, you okay?
Hey. Angry.
Earthquake.
Is it worth the third? Doesn't sound like it by the way you're acting, throwing things around.
Well, maybe, I mean, clearly the doctor might disagree with me, but you know. Yeah, why not? Like, do I think VSCA is gonna be a thing? Do I think VSCA is an answer to that question above? No.
There's so many guys that are like in that same will they, won't they kind of thing. It's like start throughs, right? So
okay. Mm-hmm. I am.
LaVisca's going to be. Now, does he stay healthy? I can't really remember.
I mean, he didn't really get used much. He didn't in college. He had some injury issues, but he hasn't really in the NFL. So
we just thought he was hurt.
Yeah.
We hope
maybe.
All right. So LaVisca, I don't know, man. Who else they got? They got Marvin Jones, right?
Mm-hmm. Christian Kirk, baby.
Yeah. We already mentioned Christian Kirk.
I love me some Christian Kirk. That's about it.
Travis Etienne is back, although he's a running back there. He's lining up wide in OTAs or whatever.
He's the next Debo.
So that, I don't know. Do they have a tight end that's worth talking about?
They just got Evan Engram. I don't know if you consider him worth talking about.
There's your rookie hit. He hit his rookie year and then...
Then went away.
Went away.
Because it had nothing to do with him being good. It just happened to do with there was literally no one else to throw the ball to on his rookie year because everyone else got hurt.
Wow.
So it looks like we are a very strong
out.
Meh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of meh. I mean, I'm not going to, whatever.
I'm not going to drop him.
No, I'm not. I'll hold on to him,
in my lineups until he does something for a couple of weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who would you rather hold on to, Chenault or Rager?
Chenault.
Okay.
Because Rager, again, like, it wasn't a scheme thing with Rager. Like, I wrote off his rookie year, then they got in, brought in Devonta Smith, and I was all, let's go, Rager. He has someone good on the other side mm-hmm. of him who will be able to take some, you know, take some of the attention away, give him those five-step, you know, hooks and let mm-hmm. him do something with open space, and he just dropped every pass that was thrown to him. Whether it's the yips, whether it's, you know, his confidence was just in the trash or whatever mm-hmm. it was. I'll still take Visca, who, if given the chance, can be good, and there's more of a reason for him now to be given a chance than Rager, mm-hmm. who has the same staff as last year, but they just brought in A.J. Brown.
Right, so they've moved on.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Eagles gonna Eagles.
Speaking of, the next question, at @noobengineer_, with Hurts and Tua getting weapons and prove it support by their teams, are you more inclined to keep them as contenders and see, or would you try and package them with something to get more for a sure thing? For context, they are both my second QBs in different leagues. What about in rebuild/retooling situations? As always, thanks for the opinions. I am fine going in with Hurts as my QB1. Mm-hmm. I will say that out loud. I love Tua as my tight end too.
I like him as my tight end too.
Tight end two, quarterback two. Both of his names start with T.
Can we start him as a tight end?
I mean, that's what I was about to say. I don't know if there's going to be like an ESPN controversy or something, like whenever they try to make somebody a tight end.
Yeah. What's his face from the Saints? Who is that?
Yeah, Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill, yeah.
So here's the thing. I don't think Tua is going anywhere. I think Tua is their quarterback, and especially because this is now the first year with a new coaching staff, new offense and everything. Mm-hmm. So yes, they absolutely surrounded him with a lot of talent, but I have the very big problem of making 1,000 excuses for players I like. Like, I'm still making excuses for Juju and for Jerry Jeudy. So, yeah. I mean, Tua came off a hip surgery that probably would make a lot of people not play football again. Mm-hmm. And he has looked better ever since his rookie year, almost like every game he's played. Is he going to be the running QB1 we thought he might have been able to be when he came out of college? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Will he be able to be the next Kirk Cousins? I really think so, especially, again, with what they surrounded him with. Waddle's awesome. Tyreek Hill is still Tyreek Hill.
Right.
I like Gesicki, even though he's barely a tight end. You know, good. He's a very large slot receiver. That helps. And eventually they'll get a running back that is, I mean, Chase Edmonds is okay, but like,
sure.
Eventually they'll get a running back and they'll have a really good offense. Jalen Hurts, yes, I feel less safe about his future, but man, his points ability is, with his legs alone. Mm-hmm. They just got A.J. Brown, like we said before. So if you're contending, first of all, winning is always worth it. So even if he does just straight up get cut by the Eagles next year, who cares? You won.
Right.
But he's better than a couple of the starters that are in the league. So I feel like Hurts is one of those guys where he will be starting next year somewhere. So I feel great about both of them and feel no need to package up for someone else. And I just talked a lot after asking the question. So how do you guys feel?
No, I think that I would hold on, especially, you know, like you said, with the contending, you want to win, and don't think about what's going to happen like next year right now. If you're doing like you brought up Melvin Gordon earlier, like a couple years back, I traded at the very end to get him and ended up winning that league because, you know, in part having him. So like it just depends on everything, but I think if you just hold on to those guys and see where they can take you, the talent, the Eagles and the Dolphins are both like always those shaky teams where you're like, when it, are we sure? You know, Miles Sanders, really? Like, they don't, their running back situations and everything else is like, eh. But, like, at the end of the day, you said it. Drew Locke's in the league, and the, you know, U.S. Open's making fun of him. You've got guys like that out there. You don't want that on your team, right? So, definitely, I think I'd hold on to those guys, especially if I was contending. The end.
You look glazed over, Tom.
Oh, that's, yes, that's a look I've been perfecting. I have Tua. I love him. I'm going to keep him. I'm going to see, because I think arrow's pointing up. Hurts is one of those guys that I'm going to be targeting in all my season long drafts. I just think I saw him do it last year. He'd go into the fourth quarter with nothing and then pile up just points. You know, and with his legs, and I know the Eagles are just so run heavy, and that just benefits the running quarterback, and he's not going to lose you any games, I don't think. So I like Hurts.
So even having no running back, or not having great running backs, or having a new running back every year, I think, yeah, the legs on that boy, he'll be running.
That brings up a good question. I don't know, one has asked yet, but you know, Miles Sanders, what do you do with that guy? Is he undervalued right now?
I mean, you made noises, Casey. So I want to hear what you have to say before I tell you how wrong you are.
Well, okay. Well, I'm talking like I know things and I really don't. No, Miles Sanders is one of those guys that I feel like I keep putting in packages, but I feel like people keep putting him in packages when they're trying to trade with me too. So I don't know what's going on. Like everybody, I don't know how people feel on him, because it seems like everybody's trying to get rid of him right now. I haven't accepted any of those offers. Sounds like they're trying to get him off of you. Vice versa. So I'll get like trades where people are trying to give him to me, and then I'm trying to give him in my other leagues to other people. So it's kind of like, I don't know how to value him, because like, especially with the Eagles running back situation every freaking year, I swear. I don't have to watch that too much, so that's why I say that.
I kind of like him because he's not a shiny new object.
Yeah.
But he clearly has that, like, you know, insanely good, like, ability.
So what if I told you have a running back who will average 15-ish runs a game, you know, rushing attempts a game, 3-ish targets, but somehow scored 0 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, that's...
Talk about positive. Wow. I mean, talk about regression.
Somehow this man scored 0 touchdowns last year.
So isn't he like, I mean, come on.
Do one at least, right?
This is one of those names where it's just like, do you feel good about having him as your RB2? Probably not. Will he get the job done? Absolutely.
Sure.
Because first of all, they don't... Their offense is getting better. Like they just got AJ Brown.
I know.
Their offense is going to be better. What happens when you have a better passing offense? You don't have 12 guys in the box expecting you to run every single play. So I think he will be fine. I think he will be good. I don't think there's anyone else great on the team where he'll get completely pushed out of the way. Yeah, maybe they bring in Kenneth Gainwell to catch passes. Maybe they bring Darren Sproles out of retirement because they just love Darren Sproles. But I think he will be good enough. Like in the trade addicts leagues, you only have to start one running back.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Yeah, that's.
Would I want him as my only running back? Only if the rest of my team is very, very good.
No.
But if you have to start two, I would be very glad to have him as my RB2.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. I had him in a dynasty best ball league, and I was like, I feel like that is like,
yeah, that's perfect.
Well, that's, I love the default answer. He'll be great in best ball.
Yeah, that I is also the best really... answer ever.
Of course, yes, best ball, right? Absolutely every day. I think for season long auction leagues, I'm excited for somebody like Miles Sanders because, you know what I mean. I think you can get him real cheap.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Especially you let everyone else spend their money first and all like all of those big money, you know, go take Christian McCaffrey, go take Jonathan Taylor. Uh-huh. And then 2 hours later, bing, Miles Sanders.
Sure.
Miles Sanders. Now you're trying to sell me on Miles Sanders. Now I'm like, oh, look at this value.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's undervalued. That's all.
Yeah, he is.
Speaking of those maybe one-time high-end running backs. At C2C, okay. Dynasty Merc asks the question, are we finally all aligned that Saquon will be Saquon in 2022? Very divisive player in the non-point scoring season.
I mean, I see that everywhere, and everybody's saying Saquon. Look at that body, that picture that he posted.
Saquon, baby. All right, so as the resident Giants disliker, because Cowboys fan, and because, well, do Patriots fans hate the Giants? It was just two games, right?
It was very upsetting.
The answer is yes.
Just two games.
You know what, sir?
You also lost to the Patriots in one of those games. So how do you two feel about Saquon this season? I will just jump in and say I am all in on Saquon. So how do you two feel about Saquon this season?
I hate to say that. I know everybody's saying that, though. I want to, like, go against the grain. But, Daniel Jones is just like, ugh. So I'm like.
I love saying this crap because it absolutely is not meant to sound the way it's going to.
Okay.
But what did we think of Josh Allen going into his third year?
I know.
Who was the offensive – I don't know if he was the offensive coordinator or the quarterback's coach at the time.
Yeah.
But the guy who's now the coach of the Giants. So clearly I'm saying Daniel Jones is the next Josh Allen. That's absolutely what I'm saying right now.
Is that what you're saying? Okay. Well, then I feel good that I have him in at least one Dynasty roster.
I thought you were trying to say that Saquon was the next Josh Allen.
Ooh.
Honestly, I wish Saquon can run as well as Josh Allen.
Yeah, I feel like, God, isn't he do it? I mean, geez. I know that's a cop-out answer too, like a best ball, isn't he do it? But, you know, like, I feel like this is your, let's do it.
Okay,
I think you're happy if you have him on your team in Dynasty. I think you're very happy. I don't know. Are you going out to get him in Dynasty? Maybe you did.
I haven't.
Wouldn't you rather be selling him?
Depends on who you're talking with. Because I, unfortunately, play with a lot of people who like the same players I like. So, like, trying to trade with Rocky or trying to trade, especially with Brian Haar, who used to be my co-host, who was a big Penn State person, who just
love.
Like, he was drafting Saquon 101 in Dynasty Startup. Saquon actually played a snap in the NFL. So, I did. I can't remember what the trades were, but I think I paid that top 5-6 running back price. Like, I did not get him at a discount at all, but I was still willing to go do it because he was looking better and better until he stepped on that dude's foot and grew an ankle on his ankle.
Well, I remember that.
So now that he's looking so, you know, like, oh wow, Saquon could be, you know, a thing this year. So
Justin is in the chat watching us live and says, Travis Etienne or Saquon Barkley?
I'd still go Saquon.
I do a show on Wednesdays with Addison Hayes on the DLF YouTube channel, the DLF trade show. And Addison Hayes at @AmazeHayes_ is insanely in on Travis Etienne, like saying he can be Christian McCaffrey level fantasy output. And I hear it so often that it's seeping into my brain, whether I like it or not. But man, the answer is still Saquon.
That's an interesting one. I have, I don't know. It's not a dynasty league. I have a keeper league, and I have Etienne that I drafted and just kept him, you know, on my bench. And I think I'm just going to keep him because it was like he was like a dollar.
Oh, for sure.
But I got Saquon at a massive discount because nobody wanted him. It's like, I think half the league are New Yorkers, and they were just like, no, because they're so, you know, angry about the situation. So, you know, but I kind of have that decision to make. Whether I want, I think it's a no-brainer for me, ATN for a dollar instead of, like, Saquon for 20.
Yes, in that situation, I will back that. But don't make me change my mind. All right, that is... Oh, wait, hold on. No, he had a second part. What are your draft positions, divisions, and overall strategies in SFB 12? We talked about that a little bit. I am in San Francisco drafting from the 12 because I love me some Big Hero 6. And like right away, like it's funny, like I'm like, all right, fine, let's go find New Jersey. And of course, the only things in New Jersey are Jersey City and Newark, which are two towns right freaking next to each other. Nowhere, like 45, 50 minutes north of me. And I'm like, I mean, I guess I'll pick one. Sure. And then like someone starts telling me like, wait, there's fake places. There's fake. Like, and then I'm like, there's Gotham. Oh man, there's Pawnee. Oh man, there's Paradise Falls from up. And I'm like, I can't believe he's making me choose this. Like, I'm not going to choose Halloween Town. You're like, I've been watching this for like 20 years at this point. Oh man, 30 years I'm old. I wasn't ready for that. But I settled on San Francisco because the idea of it made me happy. And I picked 12 only because last year I drafted from the 3 spot. So I'm like, all right, third round reversal. Let me just try the other end. So I picked the 12. Do I have a strategy? No, not at all.
Well, I don't have a strategy either. So that's an easy answer to that part. I'm in the Frisco, Texas division because it's the closest city to where I live. I live in McKinney, Texas, and it wasn't cool enough to make the list, but El Paso was, and whatever, I don't care. It's where my wife's from. So anyway, Frisco, and I picked them also because the Stars in Frisco, that's where the Cowboys practice. I've been there numerous times, not to watch the Cowboys practice, but there's lots of restaurants and bars and all that fun stuff right there too. Nice. So, and then I decided to go with 4 this year because I'm always like 11 or 12. And I was like, all right, let's try something different this year.
And you and I had the same draft position 2 years ago, right,
Casey? We were 11. Yeah.
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 I don't know. I like I said, I'm doing the live one, so and it's in LA. I don't know what my position is. I don't know what my strategy is. I have no clue whatsoever. I'm tempted to try to grab, you know, to go like quarterback, tight end maybe this year, you know, trying to make those priorities.
The only strategy I'm going in with, I am not drafting anyone with a week 14 bye week.
Okay.
Because I made the playoffs, and then 4 of my starters had a bye week that first week of the playoffs. Ooh. I did not make it to the second round.
Ooh.
That's good to know.
Okay, I mean, yeah, that's a good
Jonathan
tip.
Taylor felt like having a bye week on the worst possible time. I mean, yeah, that did not go great for me. That is literally the one thing I am going to try and avoid.
Okay.
I think I'm going to draft some kickers. I'm not usually a kicker drafter when it comes. But I know last year, like when I lost a quarterback or whatever and was like really in need of points, it was nice to have. And not that, I mean, I think I picked up a kicker actually. But still, you know, it'd be nice to have one or two.
Oh, I think I drafted like 3 or 4 of them. Because
just in case.
Again, it is the absolutely wrong way to play SFB is playing safe. But that is 1,000% what I did. Like at the bottom, you should be drafting those rookie wide receivers. You should be drafting those zero RB running backs, those guys that could, for no reason, win you the league. But no, I'm going to take those guys that average 9 points a game, and you know I'm going to be happy about it. I did not win last year.
Yeah, I've never won. Can you tell? And I've been in it for, this is my 8th one?
Wow. This is our year, guys. This is our year.
Let's go, guys. We got it. 1, 2, 3 right here, guys.
And then we just sit all of our players for the last round and we 3-way champions.
3-way champs, dude. I love it.
That's a plan.
It started here.
That's
nice.
A deal.
But the question is, do we really trust each other enough to all of us actually sit all of our players?
I'm holding you to it.
I trust you guys.
I will 1,000% do it. Bring it out there. 1,000% I will do it. And then cry when Casey puts like just a kicker in at the
just
last.
Just a kicker. Oh,
first points. Whoever the Dallas kicker is. So
yeah, the guy that can only make every other. No, we got rid of him.
All right. So that was our last question. So let's move up to Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1, which we actually have 2 trades from today, which is exciting. In Trade Addicts 1, I on whatever the third was. I think that was Friday or Saturday. I can't remember anymore because days mean nothing. I may have poured myself too large of a glass of whiskey and let everyone in my leads know that. So I got a bunch of offers. And the first one I got in Trade Addicts 1 was Chris Godwin for my 2024 first. And I saw that. I'm just like, I will do that. I love me some Chris Godwin. I love Penn State pass catchers. Going back to, I used to host with a dude who was a big Penn State fan. So Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson and Gesicki and like all, like just, I'm there. So I'm like, cool. I'll miss out like the first 6-7 games to get a 26-year-old awesome wide receiver for 24 first. Yeah, all day. And I felt like that when I was sober the next morning too. So yes.
Hey, I never feel that way the next day. I'm like, why did I try to make that trade? It looks as bad as the ones I try to make when I'm sober.
If you're listening and you do enjoy the idea of drunk trading, it is best to only receive offers and accept or reject. Clicking buttons is a dangerous, dangerous concept.
For sure.
I don't recommend, just to put that out there.
Yeah, I kind of have to just like give up halfway. Like, I can't even, I don't know what's happening.
So thoughts on Chris Godwin for a 24 first?
I like it.
I'm Chris Godwin, like solid, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you never know with the first whether, you know, it's pretty, it's, you know, he's just a little over that first for me. So I'd go Godwin.
And it's 2 years from now. And let's face it, in 2 years from now, I'm still winning that championship. Yeah. So it's the 112 for Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
We don't know who their quarterback will be. We don't know who'll be throwing him the ball, but you know, it's probably not going to be Tom Brady. Yeah.
Kyle Trask.
Tom Brady will be playing by the time we all retire from our real jobs. I mean, that dude apparently doesn't want to be with his kids. So the next trade is Treylon Burks for a 24 first, 23 second, and Isaiah Likely. Okay, I love Treylon Burks. I am a sucker for X-type wide receivers, and that's like what Burks is. Like the Titans traded away A.J. Brown for Treylon Burks. Like Treylon Burks could be anything. He could even be A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
And like, I'm there for that. Treylon Burks is, I like him a lot. So he was my 102, probably. You know, Breece Hall in rookie drafts was the 101. I would be fine taking Burks at 2, which I have done in multiple places. So let's pretend I didn't have my draft yet. Would I trade the 102 for a 24 first and a 23 second? And I mean, Isaiah Likely is whatever. I mean, he was pretty much a waiver wire pickup after drafts in most cases, even though positive buzz, but he's like the sixth tight end on the team that does like to use four of them. So maybe there's a chance. I think I'd take Treylon Burks because I think his value should be safe enough through this season and into next non-point scoring season that I think this trade would still be available after next season. So I might as well get the player who has the chance at raising his value as opposed to the pick who, yes, the value will go up, but that is a slant you see, you know where that's ending. Treylon Burks could be the next Ja'Marr Chase. No, Treylon Burks is not the next Ja'Marr Chase, but it is an example I was willing to say out loud and immediately regret.
And that is why I'm taking the side with the first and the second.
I get it. Like, to me, this is a fair trade, but I like Burks enough that I would just take Burks. And I don't remember if we were recording at that point, but when you were talking, okay, we weren't, because you were talking about trading away your 23 second for Mariota. And I said, stuff will fall into the second because of the amount of quarterbacks and super flex drafts. So you'll probably get good value there, but you do want to score points eventually. And I do think Burks is good enough, and that team doesn't have much else anyway, that I think he will get targets whether he wants them or not. So yeah, I'll take Burks. But again, I think the value is good, but I'll take Burks.
I don't want Burks.
You don't want perks?
Mm-mm. Not for that. Not for that big of a bounty. Booty? Booty?
Sure.
Booty.
Booty, 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 booty. Rocking everywhere. Gotta go old school, I think.
Trade Addict 6. I did the Outhouse Challenge in Trade Addict 6 because I hate my team. Because the last Outhouse Challenge I did screwed it up. So I figure if it screwed up last time, maybe it'll fix it this time.
Unscrew it up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Boom.
Strike it, reverse it. In case you don't know, the Outhouse Challenge is I tell my league to send me a trade offer. I will put it as a poll on Twitter. Twitter votes on the poll. If the end of the poll has the side coming to me winning, I will accept the trade. And these are two that did get through. And the first one, actually, I was good with both of these, which is very weird. I usually end these challenges very angry, which is I don't know why I do them, mostly because I'm bored. The first one, Devonta Smith and a 23 second for Drake London. Before I say which side I got, which side I lost, why don't you two tell me how you feel about it?
Ooh.
Well, I already said, I don't know. I'm just kidding. I want... Which one? What did I say earlier? See, my brain can't even think.
Who cares what you said earlier? How do you feel it now? Things change in like.
No, you know what? No. You say it one more time. Maybe I'm just not paying attention.
Devonta Smith and a 23 second for Drake.
Yeah, I want that. That's what I want.
Yeah, I want Smith in the pick too.
I had Drake London. I was offered Smith in the second. I saw this and I'm like, all right, I just lost Drake London because this is good enough that Twitter will just side with the one getting the pick.
Yeah.
And I do, I liked Devonta Smith. I liked him coming in. I liked the way he had a good season. And for a rookie wide receiver where he walked in as being the best wide receiver on the team, that's good enough for me. Like, not everyone is Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. Not everyone is going to do that their rookie year. But a guy can come in 600-800 yards and a couple of touchdowns, and that's a really good season and bodes well for him in the future. And yes, AJ Brown is there, but again, that just makes the offense better and takes some pressure off of Smith of being that number one. I do like this. I thought it was a completely even trade.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Jesse Reeves, who's the one that sent it to me, like messaged me immediately after, and it's just like, was that good? How did you feel? Like, everyone who does these knows I end up hating the results of both of them. So he's like, you good, man? Like, were you okay with that? And I'm like, yeah, I saw that trade come in and I was like, yeah, I think that's going to win. And I'm pretty much okay with that. I love the ceiling of Drake London because besides Kyle, like he's the only wide receiver there. Pitts will still most likely be the pass catcher one, but Drake London's the only wide receiver there. So he, if anything, has the opportunity. So he has the opportunity to just walk into 1,000 yards like Pitts did last year. But I really like Devonta Smith. And a 23 second has a good amount of value to it. So, yeah. I was happy with it.
Yeah.
Good. I would be too.
I like being happy. It's a very not meant to be deep statement, but it really was. a 24 first and 23 third for Elijah Moore.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow, you're really banking on him being kind of what you hope he is. I'm not a Jets fan. I just like when he, you know, I like receivers like that, like Elijah Moore. Kind of reminded me of Odell a little bit. No, do you guys see that little comparison?
Well, he's that route runner from the slot that you don't need. It doesn't need to be a deep pass for him to get a lot of yards on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's to me what always Odell kind of was. Not like, not just the fact that he can take a slant to the house in any given moment, because man, Odell was so good at that.
Man, so good.
But like, Odell was great at taking mid-range balls and contorting himself to make the catch and getting yards after it. And yeah, Elijah Moore. All right, I'll spoil it. I got Elijah Moore on this and felt great about it.
I like that.
I think Zach Wilson, like, I think it's going to be like
another one of those, man, they gave you the weapons, go do it.
Yeah, situation. Exactly.
It's 24 first for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd feel good about that too.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I love Garrett Wilson also. So I'm a little conflicted about it, but I have to specify. Elijah Moore did really well at the end of last year when that team found a way to stay healthy together for a little bit. So I'm absolutely there for Elijah Moore because we've seen him do it. Garrett Wilson, we haven't seen him do it in the NFL, even though I do like the talent to believe that he will. Yeah. But I was happy. I was absolutely happy to walk. Like I saw that. And right away, like, you could tell how good of people we have in this league. J. Mike messaged me and he's like, you good, man? You like that? And I'm like, I love me some Elijah Moore. It's a 24 pick, which again, it's going to be the 112 anyway, says the guy who, oh man. J. Mike is, he somehow got every first round pick in 2021. No, 2020.
So
clearly he won last year. His team is amazingly good because he is literally the nicest person in the world and will absolutely self-deprecate himself to say like, nah, man, I don't know what I'm doing. But like, oh man, made fools of us all.
Love you, J. Mike.
Love you, J. Mike, so much. And I bow down to you as you will be the
single pick in the first.
He had
that crazy
14, 15 of the first 16 picks. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
He called it the J. Mike Invitational.
Perfect.
At J. Mike Check on Twitter, you can still go find it. He made a video of him making every pick.
Amazing.
It is brilliance. Brilliance. And it made me cry both with laughter and with hurt. Because laughter because of how great it was, and hurt because at least one of those was my pick that I gave to him. And
doesn't that hurt? That just hurts so bad when you see and then you see somebody take somebody awesome with that pick and you're like.
But I refuse to look back and see what the trade was that gave it to him.
Oh, yeah. Never don't do that. Yeah, never look back. Always look
even forward. If it was worth it, I would still be a little upset about it because of what he pulled off.
Yeah.
But again, worth it for the videos anyway. Moving on to Trade Addicts 8. This is one of the big deals. Kyler Murray and Aaron Jones for Trey Lance, a 23 first and a 24 first.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like Trey Lance.
This is one team who has, I think he came in second place 2 years in a row and then got angry and just after last season. So he has a lot of first round picks now, and now he has Trey Lance, a nice, very young quarterback, even though Kyler Murray's like 22 or whatever, you know, but man. First of all, I love Aaron Jones. I've always loved Aaron Jones, but like now that he's like 27, 28, and on a team that doesn't have anyone to catch the ball, so he will score a lot of points this season. Man, like the youth and the picks giving up, but for Kyler Murray and Aaron Jones, I think I do that easily.
You would trade Trey Lance and the picks for
Kyler Murray and Aaron Jones. I mean, the way I see it, Trey Lance at a 23 first probably gets you Kyler Murray these days because people are weirdly low on him for absolutely no reason. Hmm. Like right after the season, he pulled one of those scrubbing the team from his social media.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone like lowered his ranks thinking he was going to hold out or thinking he was going to demand a trade. But nothing ever happened of it. But people never started to like him again. So his value, like he dropped from QB2 to like 6. For no reason. And while that doesn't seem like a lot, there's a very big difference between the 102 and like the 1-8, 1-10 in a startup draft. Like there's a big value gap in there. So Trey Lance, who's like QB 13-ish at this point, plus a 23 first. I mean, that gives you Kyler Murray. So Aaron Jones for 24 first. The value is probably the 24 first, but that's so many points. And I want Trey Lance to be a thing because everyone should be a thing. Like they what they put in to get to where they are, they deserve it. Everyone should be a thing. But like I like Trey Lance. He was my QB3 in that draft class. I was ready for him to take over immediately because Jimmy Garoppolo was not fun. And Trey Lance will be fun.
He will.
Oh yeah.
but we don't know if he's going to be a thing. We know Kyler Murray will be a thing for a bunch of years. We know Aaron Jones will be a thing for this year. So I will give up that whole lot of maybe for that.
I feel like it's really close. Like, I don't think I would be disappointed either way. Like, if either side of those, because the Aaron Jones age thing is kind of like, and the uncertainties of the picks are like, but I think it's enough that it's not really, it's like more like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's rock out right here.
That's a good transition. I like it.
I don't, you know, so the more, I mean, jeez. I am one of those Kyler Murray guys that doesn't know why I don't like Kyler Murray.
I think if my team was, like, in trouble midseason and I had Kyler and Aaron Jones, I'd be like, might be time to make a move. And then I would want the Trey Lance and the picks. You know what I mean? It would kind of depend on what the rest of my team looked like.
So fair value just depends where your team is. The ultimate cop-out answer. Okay.
An ultimate cop-out answer. True. But at the same time, like, I could see that being really, like, because it's so close, I can see it be being beneficial to both sides. Like,
oh yeah, they both left this feeling great about it.
Yeah.
And that's how you know it's a great trade. There's only two outcomes for great trades. Both people leave insanely happy, or both people leave thinking they screwed up.
Yeah.
Because, like, oh my God, why did I do that? And then you find out the other person's like, oh my God, why did I do that? So I guess it works, right?
That feels good, actually, to know that the other person also feels horribly confused.
So I have a question about trading, since I'm kind of still trying to wrap my head around everybody, because people are so different. And I don't think you can answer this question for everyone, but like,
oh, I speak for everyone.
Okay. With like countering, like when you're trying to go back and forth with someone and they're talking to you and you're talking to them, do you ever just like, it's not going to happen, and you just like feel defeated? You're just like, I just wasted like however much time.
Okay. I will say two things. Absolutely. You don't got to do a deal just because you've been talking for that long.
Right.
But also, it's not nothing. You, if you think about it, learned a lot about how that person values a lot of players on their team and a couple on yours. So like next week, you might change how you feel a little bit on one of your players and one of their players and be like, all right, okay, no. When we were talking, they said this guy and that guy, but I think about this guy like that guy. So like, it's all puzzle pieces.
Right.
And you learned what their pieces look like at that point. So it's not a defeated feeling, because first of all,
yeah,
clearly I enjoy this way too much. So trade talks are a lot of fun for me. Even if it like takes a long time and sometimes it is work, I enjoy it in the end of the day. But you, if Dynasty Fantasy Football is about fantasy football, but it's also a lot about like, it's like poker. You're playing against the people as much as you are playing against the other team. So you picked up some knowledge about someone else.
Do you have like a journal where you like take notes?
I do not. Have
somebody likes this guy, and
Leo Pasiga, you know, started his notebooks, and Zach Reed does it too. And every once in a while, I'm like, hey Zach, what do you have written down about?
Yeah, me? I want to know. Hey, what's my page look like?
My page on that is literally just like a bunch of doodles, because there is
no one can pinpoint.
There's no nailing me down. Come on. I don't know what I'm doing, so you can't think I know what I'm
doing. Because you're a doodle.
I'm a doodle.
Hey.
You're a big doodle.
Big doodle.
Wow, I feel like the kindergarten me just got very offended by that.
Why do you call me a doodle? Why do you call me a doodle?
The last trade we have on our show sheet in Trade Addicts 9, Elijah Mitchell, a 23-second. And I wrote a 22-second, but that's not correct. So I'm going to guess it's a 24-second for Kenneth Walker.
Man, people really like Walker this offseason. They're ready for him to be the next thing, huh? I don't know. I like Elijah Mitchell.
Mitchell for a 23-third and 24-second for Kenneth Walker.
It's like Elijah Mitchell and two picks for Kenneth.
A third next year and a second the year after for Kenneth Walker.
Isn't Mitchell only a second year player?
Mm-hmm.
No. I keep Mitchell in the picks.
I do too. Yes, I will agree.
So here's my thing. So it's Kenneth Walker is probably the best runner of the football in this draft class. Doesn't score you too many fantasy points. Like, I love Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb is fantastic. He's not that great in fantasy because Kareem Hunt catches the ball.
Right.
Kenneth Walker, first of all, the Seahawks don't throw to their running backs a lot. Second of all, Rashad Penny is not going to be a thing. But while he's healthy, he will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete Carroll cares zero about draft capital. And even though Rashad Penny was a first-round pick 8 years ago, it doesn't matter anymore because he got a second contract. So the fact that Kenneth Walker was drafted in the second means absolutely nothing to that team. But also, that team is going to be really bad.
Really bad.
Mm. And they have always, for someone who watched all of their games for many years and for a while enjoyed it, but the past few years, not so much. They have always drafted running offensive linemen for running the ball. The second, like, that's why they needed Russell Wilson, because he was a magician. When people were literally on top of him, he still found a way to be 18 yards away and throw a touchdown. But the two linemen they just drafted in this draft with high draft capital are very good pass blockers. Which means they are actually going to try and protect whatever quarterback they finally get, which means they don't have as good of a running line either as they used to have.
Hmm.
All of this put together, I'm not thrilled about Kenneth Walker. So give me Elijah Mitchell, who I'm not super thrilled about either, but he did really well. And nothing, Trey Sermon, clearly not a thing. Tyrion David
Price.
That's a lot of names. I mean, again, draft capital didn't mean much because Elijah Mitchell was drafted in the sixth, I think it was. But, I mean, man, Elijah Mitchell was really good when he had the ball. So I don't see why paying extra bills, I think, is where what I was trying to say with all of those words.
I think you said it perfectly.
Thanks, because I don't know what I said anymore. It's gone. So I'll take your word for it. But on that note, that is the end of our show sheet, so that is going to be the end of our show. Thank you super duper much, Tom Everett Scott, for coming.
You're welcome super duper much. I had a really good time. I love talking this stuff, you know, and I'm going to be picking your brains this season for sure. Thank you so much, Casey, for inviting me, taking the reins and inviting me.
If I wasn't terrified of people, I would have asked you to come on the show at some point also, but people scare me, so I let other people talk to other people for me.
It's easy to do through the internet. It's called typing. You don't have to actually, like, face-to-face.
Remember how my dad was with me?
Second milkshake.
No,
you're going to get two milkshakes.
My dad is going to hear this one day and be like, what did I do to you?
I never did that.
Stuff about me. My dad would not listen to this.
My dad would not listen to this.
But yes, thank you, Tom. Super awesome for coming on.
I had a good time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Casey, for co-hosting, B, being awesome. And I don't remember if I started with one or two, but I went to B, so I'm going to go with three for booking a guest because I did not remember to do that.
Hey, you're welcome. Hey, I have to learn how to book guests because that's kind of my thing. So.
Yeah, you have a one-person show. You have no choice. Speaking of Get Real with Casey Kasem, member also of the DAP Network, fantastic freaking show. Everybody
both these guys have been guests.
Both of these guys have been on it. And soon.
I will be on it soon.
I will be hosting, interviewing this gal over here.
Yeah. It can't. Yeah. Because I have. Yeah. It's all in the. It's all in the.
Because someone actually has to edit their show, unlike me, who just puts a song in the beginning and a song at the end and calls it a day.
I have to, like, read a script that I write at the beginning and then re-record it five times because I think I sound dumb and then say, you know what, just put it out. Nobody cares that much.
Editing's for suckers.
Editing's for suckers.
But on that note, our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can watch us live stream as we record and ask questions or say things in the chat that we will talk about. And we have our awesome GroupMe chat, the Cool Kids Club, which is filled with super awesome people. about fantasy football and about life, whatever you feel like talking about these days. You know, we're here. We're awesome. Join along. And ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. We have been cranking out the SFB12 stuff. It has been so much fun and so much harder than last year. Last year, music was so easy to make stuff. And now it's like so much more pressure for some reason with all of these towns and everything.
Yeah.
But, oh, man. Bob Gilchrist and Steven Johnson. Man, how did I just blank on Johnson? Like the easiest last name in the world. Have been just straight up killing it. I can take credit for like 3 or 4 designs. They have done like 80 each.
I'm going to have to hit them up because
I am going to go broke this year. It is going to be ugly. But every penny that comes in from ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com goes straight to Fantasy Cares. So you get some awesome stuff. Kids will get some awesome stuff for the holidays. Win-win situation. So go do it. And on that note, it is bedtime. So good night, everybody. You know, it's a podcast and people can't see you waving and saluting, right?
So I should just say, I salute you.
There you go. All
right. Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast. A member of the DLF family of podcasts. And a proud member in the Dicey Addict Podcast Network. Follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.